Chapter 69 Dalinar 6 Each boy Dalinar struck down seemed to have the face of one of his sons. Arador died 10 set times before him, his eyes those of every shardbearer Dalinar slew. Poor Anaren seemed to be every frightened spearman, boys with lives and loves, but whose worth was rendered as naught because they couldn't face a shardblade. Even Shenaris, now years dead, appeared in the proud faces of the noblemen Dalinar fought. Dalinar killed them anyway. This was war. This was death. Through most of the Perlir campaign, he had remained at the command tower, directing the carnage from afar. This time he could not stay back. He could not order his soldiers to kill their cousins and brothers while he rested far from the terrible work. So he fought amidst them, Shardblade making the air red with his guilt. He killed 10 sets of men. He fought with the horrible full capacity of a Shardbearer, a warrior virtually untouchable by regular troops. And yet that didn't stop them. The men were Aleth's soldiers, well-trained and disciplined. They attacked with coordination, knowing that it was occasionally possible for a group of 20 to pull down a Shardbearer, then slip past his armor with knives or spearheads. They knew that if someone didn't face Dalinar, he would simply cut through their ranks, decimating them anyway. And so they died. Occasionally, one of Elikar's remaining shardbearers would appear to challenge Dalinar, and a duel would follow. Dalinar followed protocol, but it was a dirty battlefield kind of protocol. He had slain 5 shardbearers before the afternoon sun was overhead, most of them young men who had, just months before, fought for honor in the dueling competition. Dalinar faced courtly acquaintances, distant cousins, and even friends. These were the worst, for he knew some of them to be men of honor, men who believed that it was their duty to follow the throne regardless of the king's actions. Dalinar understood their decision. In slightly different circumstances, he knew he would be with them, fighting at Elikar's side. He killed them. Somewhere near late afternoon, he began to lose the melancholy reticence that had afflicted him for most of the Perlir campaign. Old spirits awakened, passions that were a memory of the old Dalinar, the man before he became known as Tyrant Bane, the man who had slain hundreds on the battlefield and had enjoyed every moment of it. As afternoon passed, he began to fight with fury instead of shame. Within his heart he knew that this war was not about duty. He spoke of Elikar's offenses and inability to lead, but the would-be honor within Dalinar would not accept those reasonings. As the anger came free, giving him strength once simple resolve tired, Dalinar was forced to admit that this was no war of justice. It was a war of vengeance. As evening approached, it became increasingly obvious who would win this day. Elikar had suffered massive desertions the 2 nights before the battle, and while many had not joined with Dalinar instead, some had, including a fair number of shardbearers. Elikar's towers fell early in the battle, as per Dalinar's battle orders, and Dalinar's shardbearers put heavy pressure on the infantry, forcing Elikar to commit his own shardbearers to duels. By noon, the forces were balanced. By early evening, Dalinar held a strong advantage. Without men to duel them, Dalinar's shardbearers sheared through the regular troops almost unhindered. Elikar would not surrender. Dalinar had known that the boy wouldn't, and within the fury, Dalinar didn't really care. He remained rational. He hadn't entered a mindless frenzy. Yet he could kill without pain. Guilt and questioning were fed to the anger, allowing Dalinar to continue without their annoying buzzings. The old, frightening joy returned. The thrill of a perfect battle, the excitement of facing a foe and proving yourself his better. It wasn't about fair contests or duels. It was about destroying and knowing the power of having destroyed. And then he saw Echothan. His friend's light blue shardplate ran red with the blood of his enemies, many of whom lay in pieces at his feet. The ground was damp and pooling with the lives of the fallen, and Ichthon swept through a squad of heavy infantrymen, his blade easily cutting down the well-armored men, whose bulk made for difficult maneuvering. Ichthon smiled as he fought. Dalinar knew that smile. He felt its strength within himself. Yet when he saw the pleasure in Ichthon's eyes, something shattered within Dalinar. He stopped mid-swing, though his honor guard quickly finished off the man he had been about to kill. Dalinar lowered his blade and looked down at his blood-stained armor, then at the bodies around him. Arador, Renarin, and Shenaris looked back at him again. "I cannot do this," he thought sickly. "I cannot be this man again." He stood for a moment, suddenly feeling old, sore, and impossibly tired. Then he raised his blade and pointed toward Ichthon, indicating for his honor guard to meld with those of the Cardinar Lord. Ichthon gave Dalinar a broad smile as he approached. "I feel alive again, Dalinar," he said, "like before everything went wrong, before the traitor, Prelir, and that fool boy took the throne." Dalinar could not express the disgust he felt for his old friend at that moment. He knew, however, that he had to reserve an equal portion of that same disgust for himself. "The battle is going too long," Dalinar said over the din of fighting. Was it really that loud, or were his ears simply ringing after countless yet ineffective strikes to his helm? "We have obviously won the day. Elikhor needs to surrender." "I don't think he intends to," Ichthon replied. Dalinar shook his head, scanning the battlefield. "I don't intend to kill every lad here, Ichthon. These are our people. Their only fault is loyalty to their king. Perhaps if we pull back, there will be more desertions tonight." "Pull back?" Ichthon asked, waving for his honor guard to form a perimeter so the lords could continue talking. It was a barely necessary gesture. Few squads of men were willing to attack a pair of shardbearers who seemed to have no intent on killing for the moment. "Retreat, when we're winning so soundly?" Ichthon asked. "Dalinar, you know as I do that we need to continue. The victory must be decisive. Otherwise those factions loyal to your nephew might get ideas a few years down the line." Dalinar looked up toward the sun. There were still several hours of daylight remaining, and Ichthon was probably right. Show weakness now, when his reign was beginning, and Dalinar might have to fight another war soon thereafter. "You're already calling it your reign," he realized. "What of Arden? What of your promise to abdicate when the boy reaches age?"
"It must be done, Dalinar," Ichthon said. "You must be firm, at least until we find and dispatch Elokar. I'm surprised he hasn't sought you out, actually."
"So am I," Dalinar said with a frown. Striking out to duel Dalinar directly was exactly the sort of brash move he had expected from Elokar.
"Perhaps the boy's more clever than we give him credit," Dalinar said. "He's fought with me for years, and I with him. He'll know what I expect him to do. That in itself is good enough reason not to do it."
Ichthon shrugged, then sighed slightly, stretching an arm where the shard plate was scarred from a duel. While the light of destruction had not completely left Ichthon's eyes, it had abated somewhat. By unspoken agreement, the two lords commanded their honor guards to lead them back to safety, where they could rest for a time and reassess the battle strategies. At their mobile camp, a short distance away, Dalinar was pleased to find that his engineers had managed to right one of the captured towers. As Ichthon went to replace his tarnished pauldron with a spare off a man he had killed, Dalinar forced himself to climb the ladder up 3 flights to the top of the tower. He ignored salutes, feeling his fatigue as he made his way to the front of the tower and scanned the visible battlefield. The war was going even more poorly for Elokar than he had assumed below. The king's forces were boxed together with only marginal chances for a retreat, and Dalinar's forces were making headway on the 4th flank.
"You foolish, foolish boy," he thought with a sigh.
What had gone wrong? How had the child turned out so differently from the father? Was it because Nolanaren had been absent so often, campaigning to restore Alethkar's borders? Had it been because of his obvious favoritism of Yasna? Despite his reverence for the fallen man, Dalinar was forced to admit the grand flaw of his brother's reign. Somehow, the great king had failed his kingdom in a way more subtle than he would have ever acknowledged. By ignoring his heir, Nolhanaran had left his people with a failure for a king.
"That boy just doesn't know when he's beaten," Ichothan said, clumping across the tower top.
He stepped up beside Dalinar, handing over a water skin. Dalinar took a long drink. He was tempted to wash the blood free from his armor, but it seemed a futile gesture. More would simply follow.
"Perhaps I could make him an offer," Dalinar said. "His surrender in exchange for banishment."
"So he could raise an army to come get back his throne?" Ichothan asked.
Dalinar shook his head. His musings were simply that. He knew what needed to be done. He moved to go. There were still men he had to kill. As he turned, however, he promised himself one reserved vow. He would not enjoy the killing. The men he slew deserved that much, at least. Ichothan didn't follow. Dalinar turned, frowning at his friend.
"You coming?"
Ichothan didn't respond. He leaned against the tower rail, squinting.
"Dalinar, do you see something there, to the southwest?"
Dalinar paused, then walked back up to join his friend. He followed the gesture.
"There is something there," he realized.
It looked like a shadow, but there were no clouds in the sky.
"An army," Ichothan breathed. "By the Almighty, that's why he keeps fighting. He's managed to get reinforcements from somewhere."
Dalinar cursed, realizing Ichothan was right. He pulled off his helm, wiping his brow as he called for aides and messengers. He would not be returning to the battlefield anytime soon. Reinforcements changed their battle plan severely, and he would need to direct troop reassignments.
"How many would you say?"
Ichothan asked. Dalinar looked up from the piecemeal battle map thrown together by his scouts. The new army was close now. It was moving at a very quick march. Only an hour had passed since Ichothan had pointed it out, but it was already nearing the battlefield.
"I don't know," Dalinar said somberly. "Looks like at least 40,000 by scout reports."
Ichothan whistled softly. The Cardan lord had removed his helm and gauntlets and stood with his bald head exposed. He had wiped most of the blood away.
"Don't forget," Dalinar said, turning back to the map. "You're the one who persuaded me to do this in the first place. You're not allowed to get timid now."
"Oh, I'm not worried," Ichothan assured with a smile. "I just want to make certain we have an accurate count for when the ballads are sung."
Dalinar snorted, but he could feel little mirth at the comment. The reports were not good. His men were tired and wounded. Their retreat would be slow. He had lost nearly a third of his force, and while Elikar had suffered far worse, that wouldn't matter now. Dalinar's troops could not stand against 3-1 odds, especially if the reinforcement army hadn't been marching long. The only option was to do what Elikar had not. Dalinar had cursed the boy's pride in not surrendering, but now the situation was reversed. If Dalinar gave himself up, most of his men would undoubtedly be spared. Elikar would need them too much, considering the losses he had suffered. Only Dalinar, and probably his generals, shardbearers, and high lords, would need die. Ichothan obviously saw the look in Dalinar's eyes.
"There's not going to be a ballad about this day, is there?"
"Not unless it's one with a very depressing ending," Dalinar said. "We'll try a retreat, but it took us too long to disengage. They'll give chase and they'll catch us. After that..."
Ichothan nodded.
"You will flee," Dalinar said. "Elikar won't dare invade Cardinar, not with so little resources. You should..."
"Dalinar," Ichothan said softly. "We both know that Elikar is not the type to forgive a grudge. He'll come for me eventually, and he'll take my family too. If I go now, then he will probably leave them alone."
Dalinar nodded. He looked up from the map and out over his forces. They had come to serve the tyrant Bane. They had come for justice, but had found failure.
Now they knew the truth about him, the truth he had been hiding for over 15 years. He hadn't ever intended his secret to be manifest quite so dramatically, but he probably deserved it. No man was to take a kingship upon himself. Though he had acted in the supposed name of justice, he had violated the strongest and most revered tenet of the Way of Kings. He had become a conqueror. The reinforcement army arrived. Dalinar made the orders for official retreat. He had begun the process as quickly as possible, but the main body of troops hadn't been ready until just moments before. As he stood, watching his people withdraw, he noticed something. Elokar's forces weren't moving to meet with the reinforcements. It was a strange move. They should have retreated as soon as possible to join the larger force, lest Dalinar make a desperate strike to try and capture Elokar before the reinforcements could arrive to help. Yet Elokar kept his forces together in their defensive block. Though they were a distance away, they didn't look like a force welcoming long-awaited allies. Dalinar's frown deepened.
"Do we know who they are yet?"
Echothan shook his head.
"The only thing we know about them is that they're winds cursed good at killing scouts."
The reinforcements began fanning out into an offensive line, preparing to curl around Elokar's forces. Dalinar watched, slowly comprehending.
"Those aren't reinforcements," Dalinar said.
Echothan didn't need to be told. He was already watching the Third Army, as were the scribes and messengers on the tower top.
"By the Almighty," Echothan said with relief. "They've come to help us, not Elokar. Who are they?"
Dalinar sensed a wrongness.
"No," he said with growing understanding. "No, Echothan, they aren't here to help us. I should have realized. 40,000 men? That's not the size of an unnoticed reinforcing party."
"I want messengers out now," Dalinar bellowed. "Split our forces. Leave a column in the center for Elokar to retreat through us. Send light cavalry to harry the newcomers and double-pace the retreat."
Echothan frowned.
"What?"
he asked as the messengers jumped into motion.
"What is this?"
Dalinar shook his head.
"Those aren't reinforcements for either side, old friend. Alethkar has been invaded."
Elokar's forces were hesitant to accept aid, but that was only natural considering its source. Eventually, the king was forced to make the best of two unenviable decisions. If Dalinar's forces betrayed him, then he would die. If he stayed, he would die. Better to hope upon the honor of his uncle and the danger of a common enemy. Dalinar watched the retreat, determined to stay atop the broken tower as long as was safe. Fortunately, the invaders hadn't been given full time to spread out their army, and a retreat was still possible.
"But who are they?"
Dalinar thought, trepidation increasing. He feared he knew the answer. Months ago, on the stormlands of Prelir, another phantom army had appeared. It had left thousands of men dead in its wake, then disappeared into the uncivilized wilderness of the east. Ranta, the rebels of Prelir, had apparently decided to bring their fight to Alethkar. But where had they gathered such an army? Scout reports were sparse, there was too much chaos, and the invaders' army had obviously been keeping careful watch for spies. However, early reports said that the enemy was amazingly well-equipped, with full squadrons of heavy infantry and archers. No towers, but such would have been difficult to move stealthily. Dalinar shook his head. He should have known better. This was the price of internal squabbling. This is why Bajardin warned against the lords of a kingdom taking up arms against one another. At their strength, even after Prelir, the Aleth forces would have had little difficulty facing an army of 40,000. Now, however, they were a shattered and wounded group.
"Keep that eastern flank moving,"
Dalinar ordered, waving toward the messengers. One man jumped into motion, climbing down the tower to deliver the order. The order would go to men who were expecting it, however. The officers were undoubtedly trying their best to keep their men moving, but the infantry would be weak. Dalinar tried not to think about the wounded and exhausted. Both would have to be abandoned by the main force. Hopefully, these invaders would show honor to the captured. Below, great troops of men,
barely organized in their flight, backed away, retreating northward. Ilokar's forces marched down the middle in the gap left by Dalinar's split flanks. Only the cavalry remained behind, mounted archers used to harry for a retreat. They were taking heavy casualties, however. Dalinar could see that much without hearing the reports, and he cringed at the loss. Horses fell and died, each beast more valuable than 100 suits of armor. Suddenly, a group of horsemen broke off from Elikar's ragged line. Dalinar leaned forward, frowning. He could barely make out a gold-armored form leading the force to the east.
"What is that fool boy doing?" he demanded.
No one responded, only messengers waited atop the tower. Etchathan had gone below to lead the harrying forces. Arrows fell from the invading army as Elikar passed, but none hit the king. Ilokar spurred his horsemen quickly, making straight for the broken city of Krossgard. A force of horsemen left the invading army trailing him. Dalinar waited tensely as Ilokar disappeared into the city. It seemed odd that he should now be fearing for the boy's safety. Just hours earlier he had been trying to kill Ilokar. However, the people would need their king, for a time at least, to face this new invader. Personal arguments had to be discarded. The invaders reached Krossgard just as Elokar's forces burst through a hole in the wall on the other side. Elokar's horsemen turned, making straight for the main body of the king's army.
"What was that about?" Dalinar thought with frustration.
The invading force was getting close. It was about time to abandon the tower. Fortunately, the invading army was moving more slowly than Dalinar had expected. There was a sluggishness to their motions, one almost as obvious as that of his men.
"They're tired from marching," Dalinar decided.
It was the only answer that made sense. They must have come a long way to make their assault. It was a chilling realization. If the invaders had waited just another hour or two, they would have caught Dalinar's forces in camp for the night, even more weakened from the day's exertions, Elokar's forces presumably destroyed.
"Abandon the base camp,"
Dalinar ordered, waving his messengers to climb down from the tower's top. He waited until they were all down, then followed behind, bellowing for his aides and scribes to retreat. The scene at the base of the tower was one of insane chaos, soldiers and civilians scattering every direction, officers yelling for this chore or that, and people crying that they needed more time. White-robed women scurried about, trying hurriedly to gather up their scribing materials. Dalinar waved for his horse, then mounted. The action seemed to bring a bit of focus to the various groups, and many paused, looking up at him.
"Go," he ordered, pointing north. "Leave everything you can behind. I don't want anyone collapsing during the night's march because they decided to bring a few extra books. Everything can be replaced but you."
The words gave them direction, and their fervor seemed to become a little more directed. Dalinar waited a few moments to make certain they moved as per his order, then turned his horse and galloped toward the back of his troop line. Too many men straggled behind, clutching wounds, barely bandaged. Many just sat where they had collapsed, waiting. Dalinar cursed his inability to help, ignoring their calls as he passed. Fortunately, his main body of troops had retreated well ahead of the oncoming invaders. Most of the men would escape, assuming the invaders didn't press too hard a chase during the night. How long Dalinar's army lasted after that was a matter he didn't bother worrying about for the moment. They couldn't run forever. Eventually, they would be forced into a battle. That would happen another day, however. There would be plans, traps, and perhaps even hope. Perhaps. He turned his horse, galloping toward his now retreating squad of harrying archers. A smiling Etchathan nodded to Dalinar as he joined the group, staying just ahead of the oncoming invaders.
"They were obviously focused on getting to the battlefield in a hurry," Etchathan yelled. "They barely even bothered with us. We killed 10 of them for every one we lost."
"But every one you lost was one on a horse," Dalinar thought. "A horse that could have carried a wounded man."
He had sent 200 horseback archers to harry. Barely 30 had returned. In just a few moments, Dalinar had lost nearly half his army's mounts. The point was irrelevant. Etchathan's forces had slowed the enemy, if just a bit. Every moment would count. The horseman turned and galloped back past the line of wounded, and Dalinar reined his horse in, grabbing by the arm a young spearman with a wounded leg. The youth looked up in shock as Dalinar lifted him up with a grunt, placing him on the saddle behind. By unspoken command, the other horsemen did likewise, each helping a wounded man up behind them. There were sudden cries from the field nearby as the wounded realized that this time Dalinar would not ride them by without thought. There were only 30 horses, however, and hundreds of wounded. Steeling himself against the wails of those left behind, Dalinar ordered his group forward before the other wounded could get too close. The horsemen started forward again, moving less quickly this time, but still fast enough to stay ahead of the main body of invaders. The youth on the saddle behind Dalinar held to his plate with rigid hands as the men behind watched their lord abandon them. Dalinar edged his horse closer to a Chothan, who rode with a dazed-looking boy that had a head wound.
"Did you see Elikar ride past your force?" Dalinar asked over the sound of hoofbeats.
Echotha nodded.
"He galloped past us in a mean hurry. That pretty wife of his on the horse behind him."
Wife. So that was what it had been about. Nanava had come to war with the king. It made sense, of course. The queen often served as king's scribe during times of war.
"Did you see a boy in her arms?"
Dalinar yelled. Echothan shook his head.
"I was kind of busy at the time."
Almighty let it be that he left the prince at home.
Arador was dead, Jezan Rosh and his family executed, and Renarin missing. If Elikar's son died with the rest of the army, it would mark the end of the Kolin line.